While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
And of course, not with Happy Juju, but with Matthias Angala here. A very good afternoon to you, wherever you are. And thank you very much for joining in. My name is Matthias Angala, and I will be bringing you on the radar this afternoon, this very afternoon. Thank you very much to Abigail and Lisa for bringing you, her session of Sizuma Salisho. All right. And, in today's, on the radar, we are going to discuss the issue, of course, regarding Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, which actually launched volume five of their guide, and we will bring you some developments from there. And of course, very soon we will be in touch with Dr. Etuna Simon from the Vavitia University to fill us in with their innovation corner, which they are undertaking under the theme "From Research to the Classroom: Why Namibia's Classrooms Need Its PhD Holders." So, she will be joining us on the line to explain to us why is that, and of course also relating to her article which she recently published in the Villager newspaper. And I will encourage you also to be following the Villager newspaper, which is our thrice publication, which is publicized every Monday, every Wednesday, as well as on Fridays. All you need to do is to actually subscribe, to become a subscriber, either on your email, or to be a subscriber for on WhatsApp, so that this publication, this newspaper, will be sent to you every time there's a new issue. So that is either on your email, on your Telegram, or on your WhatsApp. Simply for you to be able to subscribe, simply send your name together with your email, with your Telegram number, or with your WhatsApp to 081-200-4144. Okay? That is the number where you have to send yourselves your subscription wishes, and every time there's a new issue, you will be receiving a new e-copy of that the Villager newspaper. So I would like to urge you to stick around for that interview with Etuna coming shortly on the other side of this, and don't go anywhere.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Olympic
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile.
Right, welcome back. As promised, we are joined telephonically by Etuna Simon, who is the head of curriculum development as well as innovation, the innovation center at the Valvitra University. As you know, that Valvitra University is our partner here at Eagle FM, and she will be filling us in regarding the innovations corner, which is under the theme from research to the classroom, why Namibia's classrooms need its PhD holder. So this is why we are into this discussion with her. A very good afternoon to you, Dr. Tuna, and welcome to Eagle FM.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for having me once again.
Yeah. All right. I trust that you are doing well, and that everything is going well at the Valvitra University there.
Yes, I'm doing very well, and we are doing very well at Valvitra University.
All right.
Yeah, everyone is an achiever.
All right. All right. So when we talk about PhD holders, we are talking about people who have trained to investigate complex problems, analyze, you know, evidence, test assumptions, develop solutions based on research. And our argument is not that PhD holders should replace teachers, but actually teachers remain at the heart of education. Rather, we need to create a stronger connection between research expertise that exists within our universities and the challenges that our teachers and learners experience every day. So, for example, when we are considering curriculum reform, we need to ask what actually works for Namibian learners. Why do we know? What evidence do we have? And what is the, that is where the researchers can now make an important contribution by helping us move from assumptions and good intentions toward decisions that are formed, are informed by evidence which is collected by researchers. Now, can you fill us in regarding that?
Yeah, looking at the PhD, PhD is a doctor of philosophy, right? So the holders who are holding that PhD. We are talking about people who have been trained to investigate complex problems. Yes, they are also able to analyze evidence-based assumptions and are able to develop solutions based on research.
Mm-hmm.
So our argument is not that PhD holders should replace teachers. Yes, of course, teachers remain at the heart of education.
Mm-hmm.
That is clear. That is a fact. Rather, we need to create stronger connections between the research expertise that exists within our universities and the challenges that could teachers and learners experience every day. So, for example, when we are considering curriculum reform, we need to ask what actually works for Namibian learners. Those are very important questions for us to ponder on. How do we know what we know? For example, whatever it is that we have discovered, what evidence do we have at hand? So that is where researchers can make a very important contribution, helping us move from assumptions and good intentions towards decisions that are informed by evidence. We can look at various practical examples from Namibian context. Like, for example, we would want to understand the partnership between a university researcher and teachers in our schools. So we want them to be able to investigate, for example, maybe why learners continue to struggle with mathematics, science, or reading. These are some of the challenges that we normally understand in our settings, in our very own context. So we are saying that the researcher could help the teachers analyze assessment results, identify misconceptions, and test a locally appropriate intervention while teachers are working together now with these researchers. So they will be able to do what? To identify a misconception, they need to test that local appropriate intervention, and they should also be able to contribute to the knowledge of the learners, the language, environment, as well as the classroom realities. That is basically what we are talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you took time to emphasize on the distance between research and practice. Why is that important for Namibia to close that gap?
Indeed, research only creates what we call real value when it can contribute to solving problems. So we have researchers producing valuable knowledge in our universities, and we have teachers and policymakers dealing with practical challenges every day. So the question is, how do we then connect these two worlds? So we need to move towards a system where researchers are not working in isolation and teachers are not expected to solve every educational challenge alone. So imagine having researchers working alongside teachers, helping to test new teaching approaches and also analyzing learners' outcomes and identifying what works in different Namibian contexts. Just imagine that situation. And that would also then allow research to become what we call a practical tool for improving education rather than something that remains primarily within academic publications. This is what we are advocating for.
Mm-hmm. And curriculum reform is one key area that you highlighted. How can PhD level research how can it improve Namibia's curriculum?
When you look at curriculum reform, this is a very important area because decisions about what learners study and how they are assessed have long-term consequences. So doctoral level research gives us tools to rigorously test those decisions. So for instance, instead of introducing a particular approach and simply assuming that it works, we can pilot it. We need to monitor learner outcomes over time and then compare results before we could identify where improvements are needed. So this is particularly important because Namibia has its own educational realities. What works in another country may not necessarily work in the same way here. So our curriculum development should increasingly be informed by evidence generated from our own classroom, our own schools, our own learners, and our own communities. That is what we are telling our researchers and teachers to do collectively.
Mm-hmm. Right. You recently published an article in The Villager, actually refers to under-deserving regions and investment in connectivity as well as infrastructure. So now, how can PhD holders contribute to those areas?
Wow, that is a very good question there. So this is where research becomes extremely practical. Now we are going to the practicality part of it. So Namibia is investing in school infrastructure and digital connectivity, including initiatives aimed at improving access in underserved areas. So we have seen what they have been spending in our current affairs in terms of this. So, but investment alone does not automatically guarantee improved learning outcomes. Even if we equip these classrooms with digital technologies, we give them the best teachers. So we need to evaluate these interventions. How are we going to do that? Also by asking the following questions. Are learners actually benefiting? Are the teachers using technology effectively? Is connectivity improving access to learning resources? What challenges are schools experiencing? So as a researcher, I would want to come in with such questions. So researchers are trained to ask these questions systematically and to use evidence to determine what is working and what needs to change. So rather than simply asking whether we have invested in technology, we should also be asking whether that investment is producing the educational outcomes we intended. That is what we do as researchers, as PhD holders. They need to come in to do that.
Mm-hmm. So now, another key area you mentioned in your article is technical and vocational education and training. How can also doctoral research contribute to improving employability in that sector?
You see, TVET is critical to Namibia's economic development because we need a workforce with practical skills that respond to the needs of our industry. So these people are very important. These are very important programs that we can develop. So one of the questions we need to continually ask is whether the programs we offer are aligned with what employers actually need. So that is also another key aspect that we can talk about another day. So applied research can help us understand this gap. So to bridge that gap, so researchers can work with industries and TVET institutions to examine emerging skills requirements, employment trends, and areas where graduates may be experiencing challenges transitioning into workplace. So at Velvicia University, for example, this connection between education, skills development, and the needs of the economy is particularly important to us, and our qualifications must not only produce graduates, they must equip people with knowledge and skills that can contribute meaningfully to Namibia's development.
All right, and artificial intelligence is now increasingly becoming part of the educational conversation. So now the question is, in your article, you just suggest that PhD holders have an important role to play regarding AI. So now, why is that?
You see, artificial intelligence, that is AI, presents enormous opportunities. But we also need to approach it responsibly. You see, this is where now we need to bring in the PhD holder. So we should not introduce technology simply because it is fashionable or because other countries are using it. We need research that helps us determine what works in our Namibian context. For example, will a particular AI tool actually improve learning outcomes? So the researchers will come in now with this type of questions. Does it work effectively in schools with limited connectivity? would it intentionally increase inequality between learners who have access to technology and those who do not? These are research questions. So a researcher who is a PhD trained or holder, they can help policymakers and educators separate genuine opportunities from hype. You know, sometimes we just hype things, and also to develop approaches that are evidence-based and appropriate for our context.
Now,
yeah.
Critics argues that academics and PhD holders are actually disconnected from the realities which is in the classroom. So now, how do you respond to that criticism?
Yo, this is an interesting one now. I think there is some truth in that criticism to some extent. When expertise remains isolated within universities. So I really understand where they are coming from, these critics now, you know. But I don't think the answer is to keep researchers away from schools. So the answer is to bring them closer. What do we mean here? We can have researchers embedded in educational, we can have researchers embedded in education, like, for example, part of ministry task teams, seconded to maybe regional education offices, or working with schools and partnering directly with teachers. So the relationship should be collaborative, you know. They need to collaborate and work together. So teachers bring, they will bring practical classroom experience and an understanding of their learners, and us researchers will then bring research methods, evidence, and analytical experience. So when those two forms of knowledge come together, we have a much stronger foundation for solving educational challenges. So we really need to work together. So what we are saying is here is that teachers should also be recognized as core researchers. So I would want to see teachers from Oshakati, Luderitz, Hobabes, Rundu, you name it, that are coming together, and they have developed an effective way of teaching a difficult topic with locally available material. So then a university partner can help document the practice, like the researchers now, and then they are able to test it across other schools, you know, and then publish or disseminate it while ensuring that teacher receives what we call proper recognition for the knowledge contributed. And then they are also being able to emulate that a practical example in other schools. That is what we are saying here. So we don't want to work in isolation. We want to do this collectively with our teachers.
Mm-hmm. So now, if Namibia has already expertise in that area, as your article argues, what is really, one can even ask, what is really preventing us from making greater use of it?
Yeah, indeed, you know. One would really want to ask that question. I think one of the key issues is creating the structures and opportunities for collaboration. We need stronger institutional mechanisms that allow universities, researchers, schools, government, and industry to work together on clearly defined problems. So we also need to create opportunities for researchers to contribute beyond traditional academic outputs. So what do we mean here? We are saying that a researcher should be able to say, this is what we have discovered through our research, and this is how it can be applied in a classroom, a curriculum, or a policy. Now, that translation from knowledge into practice is extremely important. We don't necessarily need to create something completely new. We need to strengthen the connection between institutions and people who are already doing valuable work. So I want to give one practical example here. We are saying that one obstacle is that collaboration is often organized around short projects, you know, rather than a continuing national system. So universities may have expertise in education, public health, agriculture, you name it, engineering or technology, while ministries, like our line ministry now and our schools, they hold what we call valuable administrative and performance data. So however, there may be no simple mechanism for agreeing on a problem or sharing data ethically. So funding the work and implementing the findings. So we need to strike a balance there, and we need to bring this group of people together. So we just work as a collective.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now, as yourself, who is the head of Curriculum Development and Innovation Center at the Valvakia University, what role does the university see itself playing in terms of streamlining this conversation?
Okay, at Valvakia University, we believe that universities have a responsibility not only to educate students, but also to contribute solutions to the challenges facing our country. So through our center now, the Center for Curriculum Development and Innovation, mm-hmm. our focus is on strengthening curriculum development, innovation, and approaches to learning that respond to the changing needs of society. So we want research and innovation to be connected to real-world challenges. That means looking at how we prepare our graduates, how we support educators, how we respond to emerging technologies, and how our academic expertise can contribute to Namibia's broader developmental agenda. You know, that is the Vision 2030, NDP6, you name it. So we see ourselves as part of a wider national ecosystem where universities, government, schools, industry and communities work together. That is how we view it at Valvakia University.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Right. And finally, what message would you like to leave with teachers, policymakers, researchers, as well as the general public who are listening to you today?
My message is that Namibia already has a great deal of knowledge and expertise within its universities and research institutions. So the experts are there. The PhD holders are out there. So the opportunity before us is to make better use of that expertise. We should not see researchers and teachers as operating in separate worlds. We need them to work together. We need evidence to inform our curricula, research to guide our innovations and collaborations to ensure that our education system responds to the realities of Namibian learners, because we need to put the learner at the center of it all. So ultimately, the question is not whether PhD holders belong in Namibia's education conversation. The question is how quickly can we translate their knowledge, research, and expertise into what we call better teaching, stronger curricula, and improved learning outcomes. That is where their greatest national value can be realized.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. And I trust that, you know, that message is carried across to the entire audience.
Thank you very much. Really, we appreciate this opportunity. And also, our followers, you know, our viewers and our followers out there. So it's very important really for us, last but not least, to understand the PhD is therefore not measured by only the title, you know, or the number of publications produced. It is also measured by whether advanced knowledge helps a teacher teach more effectively, enables a learner to overcome barriers, improve, you know, qualification and so forth. So that is what we are advocating for.
Thank you very much. Until then, until next time, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that is the voice of Dr. Etuna Simon, who is the head of Curriculum Development and Innovation Center at the University, Valvakia University, shedding more light, of course, on why Namibia's classrooms need PhD holders. Of course, the university, Valvakia University, which is, you know, a leading voice in higher education, research, curriculum development, and educational innovation while contributing to the national conversation on how Namibia can better utilize its PhD trained researchers. And let's quickly take a breather, and then coming back, we are going to dive deep into our conversation regarding the event which happened today on the launch of the Volume 5 of the Namibia Investment Board Guide.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. Namibia Investment and Promotion, Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, alongside the PricewaterhouseCoopers Namibia and Namibia Revenue Agency, launched Volume 5 of the Namibia Investment Guide in Windhoek. And the key focus areas to look at Namibia's country tax laws, international as well as local compliance measures, and tax treaties. And the purpose of the guide is actually to help prospective investors conduct initial tax research and understand regulatory frameworks before entering the Namibian market. And that is what happened regarding the guide. So now, the guide actually brought together government officials, captains of industries, foreign investors, PwC clients and alumni, members of the media and stakeholders involved in Namibia's investment landscape. So now the latest volume is intended to provide domestic and foreign investment with practical and accessible information on Namibian tax regime, helping them better understand their obligations and make informed decisions in as regarding to investment. So now, there were several speakers at that event. So, for example, PwC Namibia Country Senior Partner and Tax Partner, Chantel Olseman, who described the publication as an important milestone in strengthening collaboration between the public and the private sector. So, she actually said that the guide demonstrates what can be achieved when organizations work together around and shaped purpose and strengths, actually stress the importance of compliance when it comes to supporting Namibia's development. So now, you have to understand that the government revenue collection mainly depend on taxes, various taxes, income tax, value added tax, ad valorem, various taxes which are applied, which are regulated, which are practiced in Namibia. So now, NAMRA, which is Namibia Revenue Agency, is actually tasked, it's actually at the center of those revenue collection. And, speaking about compliance, it's now important for, those eligible to pay taxes to comply. Okay? Compliance is very important because We have seen in recent years of, for example, the Panama revelations revealing that a lot of businesses actually are involved in tax evasion. And for them to be able to evade taxes, they actually hide their incomes in offshore investments or in offshore accounts. And that in 2008 came to a revelation by local tabloids, which actually revealed what is happening that side. So that's why it is being stressed here regarding compliance, you know, like now that there is ITES, where anybody can actually just, do things on their own. So now, also, man, encourage taxpayers to remain compliant by filling in returns on time, you know, ensuring that the returns are filled on time and ensuring that the electronic funds transfers and other tax obligations are completed within the prescribed deadlines. And, urged participants or attendees to ensure that they show up for Namibia. So, there are so many challenges facing revenue collection. One is that of, the tax regime, the Namibian tax regime is designed in such a way that, for example, for businesses, there are certain issues which are not recognized as expenses, for example. So that's why, when filling returns, you have to attach your financial statements, but also knowing that the taxman is either going to deduct or to add certain things, you know, according to the statements you have provided. So now, the Namibia Investment Board and the Namibia in Promotion and Development in Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board actually provided a roadmap for investors, because this is a key element to the investors for them to know exactly what is expected of them when they are coming to invest their funds in Namibia. So now, acting chief executive officer for the NIPDB board, Julia, actually said that the launch represented another important step in the development of the Namibia Investment Guide, which is designed to densify the country's investment environment. So now, she actually explained that this guide is more than just a publication to the investors, to the local, to locals, to the general public. It's more than just a publication. But it's actually describing NIPDB's premier information source for local and international shareholders. So now the investment, the Namibia Investment Guide is structured into 7 thematic volumes covering different aspects. That is before we go for a commercial break and then come back after this.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
All right, so now we come back from that commercial break, and the seven thematic volumes covering different aspects of doing business and investing in Namibia, because this is key. Our investors, those who would like to invest in our country, need to know how our tax regime is supposed to function and need to comply, you know. And not only that, also as relating to double tax treaties, you know, which I quite find it very much interesting, because it actually helps taxpayers not to be double taxed. For example, the Namibian tax laws are designed in such a way that taxpayers, the Namibian, you know, for that income to be taxable, it have to be, you know, proceeds from a Namibian income, in a Namibian source. You know, Namibia is actually interested in knowing what is the source of that income. And if the source is Namibian or deemed to be Namibian, then it's taxable in Namibia. But now the double taxi, double taxation treaties actually prevent income to be taxed twice, okay? To prevent double taxation, especially with withholding of tax, okay? So now, going back to the definition of that, of taxable income, actually, the taxman is also interested, or not interested in taxing, incomes of a capital nature. For example, income which you actually gain by gambling or gifts. But then, if gambling become, a profession, then the taxman is interested that you go and register as a taxpayer. Alright, so now this actually includes the country profile, investment climate, immigration and labor laws, tax laws, banking and foreign currency regulation and land access regulation. So now this volume 5 is supposed to provide the investors with essential information needed to navigate Namibian tax environment, from initial consideration of an investment through operational implementation. Okay? So, there was also a comment regarding PwC, PwC Namibia, and the NIPDB board for their contribution to the, you know, to the publication. So now on its side, NAMRA's chief legal officer, Nadine Dupria, said clear and predictable taxation is an important consideration for investment before the investors commit capital to a country. So now, according to Dupria, investment assets the regulation environment, including taxation, when determining the risks and opportunities associated with investment. So now, before this investor invest money in any given economy, they take time to do research, they take time to understand tax laws, and for them to weigh whether their return on investment will be higher than the capital they are going to invest in that economy, given the subtraction of taxes they have to pay. You see, for many years, Namibia have actually given waivers to the companies which are eyeing to start manufacturing companies, because Namibia wasn't doing very well when it comes to manufacturing. So as an incentive to attract those who would like to do business as manufacturers, the tax regime actually decided to waiver the percentages those businesses are supposed to pay. Last time I checked, it was at 18%. 18%. So those are the things investors are trying to look with keen interest for them to understand whether there will be a high return on investment, as you know that the aim of any given business is actually to make profit. Okay? So, now, it's for this reason that Jupria said that transparent, predictable, and consistent applied laws actually reduce that uncertainty and enabling accuracy when it comes to financial planning and allow businesses to make good investment with confidence. So now she stressed that fairness is a fundamental principle for tax administration and that NAMRA has a responsibility to apply tax laws impartially and consistently. So now, a fair tax system, according to her, encourages healthy competition by ensuring that businesses compete through innovation, productivity, and value creation rather than through unequal tax treatment or tax evasion. Tax evasion, avoiding to pay tax. So Dupria also highlighted the growing importance of technology, transparency, and quality taxpayer services in strengthening tax administration. Okay? So now that volume 5 covers the principal tax, customs and legislations which are administered by NAMRA, including income tax, customs, value added tax, stamp duties, transfer duty, export levies, as well as other areas of taxation administration by relevant institutions. So now the guide also, on the other hand, provides information on issues such as income, when does the income become taxable? I told you earlier on regarding the definition that it have to come from a Namibian source. It will have to be come from a Namibian source or deemed to have come from a Namibian source. It have to exclude a receipt of capital nature, meaning if you just got a gift, how much is the gift? It's 50,000. You are now not going to go and declare income to NAMRA because that was a gift. It's not something permanent. And, for you as a business now, you cannot keep on giving donations to your friends just for your friends to give that money back to you only because you would want to avoid your taxable income to be high. You see? Because somehow you'll be caught. You'll be caught doing that. So the guide also provide information on issues such as income. What I mentioned now, that when that an income becomes taxable, how much which is allowed to be a deduction, the tax registration requirement and documentation, relating retention, when can documents be retained, and as well as obligations. So now, that is that regarding to the NAMRA's contribution. So now, businesses and investors need a tax system which is actually very much clear. predictable as well as consistent, because confidence in the system reduces investment risks as well as support long-term business decisions and encourage sustainable growth. All right? So that is regarding a guide, and I trust that it will explain so many issues which are still outstanding when it comes to understanding. You know, some people will complain, no, the text, taxes a lot, taxes a lot, income tax, that in reference to income tax, it's always important for one to be registered and get a tax certificate, because at times you can be deemed to have been registered. You are working as a taxpayer, you are working, and you are apparently registered, but you also need to verify whether you are really registered. You see, it's something that you really have to approach number offices and to really find out, because you know, you can be deducted, but sometimes really in reality probably the ministry is not really receiving your funds. Okay, so it's always good to verify, to you know, to go to those offices and inquire whether you are really registered as a taxpayer. So now, this edition is actually 12 chapters, and it covers legislation up to 2024 calendar year. The publication, you know that the text table is actually reviewed from time to time. So that's why the publication is covering that. Among other areas covered are tax administration, taxation of local and foreign corporations, shareholders, partnerships, joint ventures, individuals, trusts, and regulatory developments as they occur. So not only that, but also estates, as well as value-added tax, customs, and tax treaties. So in regard to that, there were a lot of research work which were put into the publication of this guide, and in relating to that, you know that the tax regime actually have to do a lot of groundwork when it comes to identifying the gaps as well as loopholes which still exist, which are actually robbing our nation of income. Because you know that the development of any country, is, as you have seen, that there is a global oil surge, for example, which has happened because of the oil price shift, upward shift, which happened on Wednesday. Now, for governments, for economists worldwide to counter that, have to ensure that they have reserves, they have funds which are reserved, and those funds actually can come from taxes, and they can also be used to provide the reliefs, you know, to the economy, because otherwise it will be difficult, for example, for ordinary citizens to make ends meet. So now it's only through taxes coordination of the various taxes. For example, when it comes to fuel, you know, there are levies which are added to the fuel, so that, you know, in terms of when prices are high, then those, the proceed from those levies actually can also be used to provide reliefs to the consumers. And with that said, I will have to leave it there and hand it over to Etemo Letu crew from Ondangwa studio. Until then, from myself, Matthias Angala, bye-bye for now.